been stressed before in ministry? How many of you have ever been stressed so far this week? You know, conference is obviously very, very busy. When you have 1,500 people from 100 some odd countries here, it's hard to even connect with people sometimes. And, you know, great friends you may not have seen forever, but you know, it's hard to connect. So even something like this can be stressful. How many of you have ever felt or have ever been in a season of consistent stress in ministry? Okay? All right. Now, how many of you, this is a question for you to not raise your hand, the next two questions, don't raise your hand to this, have ever felt yourself so stressed out you contemplated leaving CF ministry? You don't have to raise your hand to this. And then also another question for you to think privately about. How many of you have ever been in a place in ministry where you don't love ministry anymore? Where you feel like your zeal, your passion, maybe what you originally felt for the ministry, and I'm not talking about like a honeymoon phase where you're like, oh, yes, I mean, this is great, but how many of you have ever been in a place, you know, just thinking privately, where you don't have a passion for the ministry anymore? I want to introduce to you today to a CF missionary named Johnny. All right? Johnny has been serving CF for many, many years now, and I wanted to give you some qualities about Johnny. Johnny has a strong aversion to rest, okay? He never took longer than a week off in ministry. As a full-time CF missionary forever, you know, many, many years, never took longer than a week off, okay? Johnny has actually said that he saves his off days to use maybe one day. He actually banks his off day. Now, I don't know in your specific country, you know, I'm speaking from kind of an American context there, but in your country, you know, saving off days to use and not taking off time for the ministry. This is what Johnny did. Another third quality about Johnny was that Johnny was always connected. 24/7 connected to his phone, answering emails late at night, taking phone calls after hours, 9, 10 o'clock at night, talking with board members in the ministry, answering only the most urgent. Johnny, in his heart, directly correlated personal effort with ministry fruit, which is why Johnny was obsessed with being productive. Even his Facebook statuses would talk about being productive, and that was the most important thing. Whenever Johnny did take vacations, he felt that his vacations were not the best use of his time. And he could be doing other things and could be doing work. Johnny, the CF missionary, was constantly thinking about the ministry and the next task, the next meeting, the next assignment. Never having a clear mind and even just taking hobbies and just resting there at home. And even in vacation would check emails and take phone calls for the ministry. Does any of this sound familiar?
Very.
Johnny is not just a CF missionary. Johnny is
me.
Was me, by God's, and hopefully will always just was describe me by God's grace. If we're honest with ourselves, and if I'm honest with myself, I'm actually the last person that should be teaching a class like this. I personally have been a part of Child Evangelism Fellowship Ministry since 2001. I started as a Christian Youth in Action summer missionary, and CF is all I know. I actually started, the CF local committee was crazy enough to hire an 18-year-old to be the local coordinator, and started full-time with CEF and went to CMI, and then the Lord led us into the ministry in the Caribbean, and over the past 10 years of full-time ministry, sad to say, I have been many times at the brink of burnout, and I have hit the wall of burnout before. This is not something where you came to a class for me to teach you as the all-enlightened one. This is for me to share my heart with you, my struggles, and hopefully be an encouragement to you as we seek to have zeal without burnout. And for those of you here this morning, or this afternoon, I should say, if you're here this afternoon, you know, you may be in one of these positions You may be in a place where you're stressed, where you're even burnt out. There might be someone in here today that, if they're honest with themselves, will say that they're burnt out. And so I hope that this is encouraging for you. So each of you should have some notes. Does everyone have notes with you? There's a first part of this that's actually not going to be in your notes. So I apologize for that. But I want to look at the word stress. If you break stress down, you can flip your notes over if you want to have space for it or not. But this is taken from an organization called Mission Training International. If you've served international as a USA sent missionary of CEF, you've had to go to MTI in Colorado. If you've never heard of it, then you can look it up. But MTI came up with this acronym for stress, and you can write it down. It's not in your notes, I apologize for that. But you think about the word stress and the stresses that we face. And so I want to look specifically at that before we even get into burnout and everything else. Let's just look at stress. S is social. So thinking through things like other people, team members, volunteers, that annoying board member that doesn't get it. Social would stand for the people in your life that bring you stress. And all of us even can picture someone in our mind right now that brings you stress. But S for social. T for temperament. This is how God wired you. And this is your personality. So some of you who may be more introverted may be placed in a position with CEF that you are having to be more extroverted, and that is a stressor for you. Another stressor with your temperament could be that you're a more fast-paced, high-octane individual. You're going 90 miles a minute, and you're stuck with a team of slow people. And you feel like you're held back, and it's a stress for you. Some of you in this room, your temperament's more slow-paced, and you're around people that are high-octane, and that's stressful for you. So T is how you're wired, your temperament. Another stress could be R, resources. Now this is the money in the ministry. Can money be a stressor in CEF? Yes. Extremely. So money can be a stress in ministry. Your time, resource. You just simply do not have enough time to meet whatever deadline it is. That can be a stress for you. E, your energy resources. You're exhausted. Like for example, this past week, my family, we had a lot of sickness that hit our family. And I'm a lot more tired today than I really wanted to be just because we had a really, really rough week the week before we came to conference. So that can be a drain on your resources and can be a stress. E is for environmental stresses. Now this is things that would be country related, building related, anything related to your environment that is a stressor. So like can be things just within your environment that's just a stress. S, sickness. Self-explanatory, and then of course spiritual can be a stress. When you do not have a good relationship with the Lord, that can be stressful in your life. So again, just thinking about stress, this is one example. However, you also have, and again this isn't in your notes, you have life events that can be stressful. There's marriage, empty nest, babies. We just had a baby in January. That was a stressful transition for having our third kid. Deaths in the family. All of these things are major life events that bring stress into our lives. There's daily hassles. When we lived in the Caribbean for 4 years, the salt air in the Caribbean would just corrode vehicles like crazy. And so that's one example of just daily hassles of just, you know, either the car breaking down or your home or whatever, just daily hassles. There's situational stress, things that are outside of your control. There's traumatic events. There's so many different things that can bring stress in our life. And I hope you get the picture that we're surrounded by stressors. That's important to keep in mind as we look into the next part of your actual notes, your printed notes. Because if we don't understand what causes stress, then we won't recognize it. And we just think this is normal. Oftentimes, we're placed in highly stressful situations and then we think that's the new normal when in reality it's not normal. It's never supposed to be normal. So as we go along, the vast majority of this class, and I believe it was mentioned, is based on this book. If you have never heard of it, I strongly encourage you to go on Amazon. It's like $9. It's called Zeal Without Burnout. It's a very small book. And you please take a look at it. You can get it. This is by far one of the best books on the topic. And so a lot of these notes came from this book. So I didn't magically come up with this stuff. The author is Christopher Ashe. It's a very, very good book. So, as we think through, oh, and this right here, I want everyone to read together, this part right here. Unmanaged, high stress leads to burnout, leads to depression. Okay, so this is key here. Unmanaged. It's okay to be in a stressful situation. Ministry brings stress. Unmanaged high stress can lead to burnout. So, crucial distinction. There is a difference between godly sacrifice and needless burnout. There's a difference between godly sacrifice and needless burnout. This is the beginning of your notes there. You might ask, what in the world is burnout? Now, you may not be able to see it from the back, so I'm going to read it, and if you can read it with me. Burnout is a state of physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual exhaustion caused by living at too fast a pace for too long or by living with too many stressors in our lives. Okay? So there's a difference between godly sacrifice and needless burnout. You see the verse there? 1 Corinthians 10:12. So if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you do not fall. You might think, well, I'm fine. And that may be true. But that's why it's important to make sure you check yourself so you do not come to the stage of burnout. Now, a neglected truth with all of this is that you and I are creatures of dust. You and I are creatures of dust. We know that. Obviously, Ken Ham shared, obviously from Genesis, we are made from dust. We are not God. I don't know if you know that or not. We are not God. We are made of dust. Psalm 103:14, for He knows our frame, He remembers that we are dust. Now, I want you to take a look there, thinking about firefighters. Obviously, all of us would have firefighters in our country. Firefighters, think about this with me. Then this isn't in your notes either. They are different people, right? Firefighters are different people. They're not all the same. They're not robots. Firefighters have different abilities and different physical abilities, right? Firefighters have different tolerances of their ability to fight fire and to go into a burning building and the amount of time they can spend in the burning building before they're exhausted. And also, firefighters have different levels of what can be handled at the same time. They're different people. They have different abilities. But what's the same about firefighters and fighting fire as we think about ministry? There's the same burden. We need to get this fire extinguished. We need to save these people. There's the same passion. There's the same zeal. There's the same need. There's the same urgency. But the firefighters who fight the fire are different people. And think about that in ministry. If you have firefighters that are going into a fire zone, one firefighter may be able to go in there and spend 10 minutes in the fire. Is it a sacrifice for him? Yes. Another firefighter may be able to spend 20 minutes in the fire zone. Is that a sacrifice for him? Yes. He's able to handle 20 minutes. One firefighter is able to handle 10 minutes. They're still sacrificing. They still have the same zeal, same burden, same need to get the fire extinguished. But they're different people with different abilities. And inside this book, there's this quote. I think it's not fully printed in your notes. But it says, it's been very helpful to me. This is a quote. To contemplate the difference between burnout and sacrificial living for the Lord. Your reflections really helped me to understand the difference. I put it into terms of fighting fire as I'm a volunteer firefighter as well as being a pastor. And this pastor goes on to say, obviously you have to push yourself physically when fighting a fire, right? It's a stretching experience that's uncomfortable and physically difficult. You have to know your limitations while making the sacrifices needed to get the task done that must be done. It's foolishness to ignore your limitations, try to be a hero and cramp up, pass out and have a heart attack while in a burning structure because you're beyond the limits of what God has supplied you with the capability of doing. It's a longer quote, but it says, it's a form of heroic suicide that is counterproductive because you're no longer effective in fighting fire, and the resources that were dedicated to fighting the fire are now dedicated to saving you. And that's the thing with the difference between godly sacrifice and needless burnout, is that when you burn out. Oftentimes the resources dedicated are now dedicated at restoring you. The aim of gospel work is not to be a lone hero, but to work with other gospel workers to spread the gospel of Jesus. Amen? It's not the idea to be the lone hero, to be the lone ranger, to be the one saving the day. We're supposed to have a team effort in what we do. So, seven keys to a lifelong ministry of sustainable sacrifice. Again, all of this is from that book. I've, of course, added to it, to these points specifically. We need sleep, and God does not. Amen? I was actually joking with Mandy that when I originally did this session, it was about a 40-minute session or so at the leadership conference for our region last year. And I was saying, well, I only have about 40 minutes of material. Is that going to be a problem? And Mandy was like, no, just let them out early. They can take a nap. So, you know, we do need sleep, but God does not. Amen? Amen. Someone read in your notes. It should be printed there. Psalm 127:2. Can someone read that real quick, loudly?
In vain we rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves.
Now, thank you. Now, this is not an endorsement for sleeping in. But this is a thing that rest is important. You know, oftentimes we stay up late writing emails that could wait until the morning. And then we have that screen stimulation because we're staying up on our phones, maybe on Facebook or email or whatever. And then the screen stimulation has messed with our eyes, and now we're just laying awake, just like trying to get to sleep, and we can't get to sleep. Oftentimes, think about this. The farmer that sows the seed, in the parable of how we're supposed to be out sowing the seed and spreading the gospel and everything, inside that parable, what did the farmer do at night? He went to sleep. He didn't stand over the garden until late in the evening trying to like will the seeds to grow faster. He went to bed at night because God was the one responsible for the fruit. We need sleep. God does not. This is something you may think is heresy, and I promise you it's not. We need Sabbath rest, and God does not. Now you may say, wait a minute. Genesis, he was the one that rested on the seventh day. This is heresy. No, listen. Did God need to rest on the seventh day? No, he did not. He modeled what rest was supposed to look like for us. But he did not need to rest. He was not tired out of creation, was he? He was all-powerful and able to create the world. We need Sabbath rest. Now, this can be applied to taking good vacations, having that time of rest where you're not working 7 days a week. Now, is there seasons where you're working 7 days a week? Yes. Obviously, even like a conference like this, you're traveling on a Sunday, maybe travel back on a Sunday. You know, this is a busy season this week, even this week of the conference. But we need to make sure that we carve out and heavily protect time for rest. Time with our family. Time to just sit and be quiet. Time to have a hobby. And now you may think, well, I haven't had a hobby in years. But time for you to stop. Because what can end up happening is we're going, we're writing emails on Sunday afternoon. I actually, sad to say, I'm not going to say who it was, I actually got a call from another CF worker on a Sunday afternoon asking about some paperwork. And it's nobody, you know, I'm like somebody, you know, from far away, but it was like, you can't work. I mean, like, what are you doing calling on a Sunday afternoon about some paperwork that could have waited until Monday morning? So we need to make sure we have Sabbath rest. Third thing, we need friends, and God does not. We need friends, and God does not. God did not have to create us to be perfect, to be holy. He chose to create us to advance His glory, but He did not need us to exist. God in the Trinity was perfectly in community. He did not have to create humanity. He chose to create humanity to advance His glory even more. We, however, we do need friends. We need good friends. Friends that you can be open, honest with, to share your soul with, to share your struggles, to share with a friend. I've had some wonderful conversations even this week for those who know our story and for those who I know their story. And I've had some wonderful conversations with friends of, you know what? I'm struggling. Sometimes I don't like CEF ministry. Sometimes I'm exhausted. You know what? I actually don't like my job very much. And we have that friendship where we can talk one to another. Do you have those friends that you can talk freely with, free of judgment? Or are you scared of what they'll think of you? Scared of a supporter not supporting you? Scared of your pastor not blessing you? You need to have friends that you can be open to completely. Your spouse is key to that as well. Your spouse is heavily involved in all of this with stress and burnout. There's always more we can do in ministry, but God is not asking, can you do more? God is asking, do you love me? All within Scripture, we see where God is about what? The heart. Never in Scripture do you see God having a performance checklist of, did you do this today in your ministry? Does God value hard work? Yes. Does God value efficiency and doing things well and all the, you know, all of our culture points and everything else? Yes. But what does God care most about? Your heart. Do you love me? Fourth, we need inward renewal and God does not. We need inward renewal and God does not. Think about this question. What feeds you and what drains you? And again, a lot of these things we don't have time to really dive into all of the inner workings of these things. This is a very heavy, weighty topic that's not going to be fully addressed in 40 minutes. But again, thinking through these questions, what feeds you, what drains you? Maybe take some time tonight while you're laying in bed, writing down those things. Like, what does feed you? What does drain you? And maybe thinking, you know what? There are things within my ministry that drains me. Even myself, I mean, I was thinking about this, and what are some things that I do in CEF that drains me? And what are some things that I get really excited about? And maybe some things that drain you, maybe you could try to delegate to someone else. Because it may be that thing that drains you gets them excited. Maybe a volunteer, maybe a fellow staff member, someone that you can outsource some of those things that drain you into where you can focus on what feeds you and why you got involved in CF ministry to begin with. What feeds you? What drains you? The things that feed you keep your emotional, physical, intellectual, and relational batteries topped up. The things that drain you empty you and leave nothing for you to offer in ministry. Also, beware ministry... I can't even say this word. I've said it so many times, but it's very hard to say. Meaning machismo, I guess it would be how you say it. Basically, kind of macho-ness, kind of like, I can do it all myself. I know that word probably doesn't translate well with everything, but meaning I can do it all myself. You know, we oftentimes get kudos for how hard we're working, do we not? It's kind of a badge of honor. If we could say, you know what? You know, please pray for me. It's been very, very busy for me the past few years. I have to work long hours. I travel a lot. I get really little sleep, and I have to sacrifice my day oftentimes. If we're honest with ourselves, sometimes this is what it actually sounds like. I want you to realize that I and my ministry are very important. And I probably am more important than you or your ministry. Even at missions conferences sometimes, it can get into a who's better than the other kind of a thing. And we need to beware of that. Do not... And this is very important at a conference like this where we've heard all sorts of testimonies of amazing stories of God's grace. Do not feel bad or like a failure when someone is more productive in ministry than you are. Don't feel bad or like a failure when someone is more productive in ministry than you are, when someone is having more fruit than what you're seeing. That does not mean that you are less a servant or less of a leader than the other person is. It just means that that person is seeing ministry fruit and you may be in a season of not seeing as much ministry fruit. Or someone may legitimately be more productive than you are, and that's okay. The important part is, are you working hard for the Lord and are they working hard for the Lord? Because like I said, firefighters are different. You see some firefighters, right, and they're buff as can be, and some firefighters may not be, but they're still fighting the same fire. They're still making the same amount of sacrifice, even though some can handle different levels of stress than others. Also, 5, a warning, beware celebrity. Ask yourself this question. How much of your overwork is driven by an honest desire for the glory of God? Again, think of this honestly. How much of your overwork is honestly driven by the glory of God? Because I can tell from myself it was not. Sometimes it was for the glory of Sean. Sometimes it was for the glory of Sean. And so I would overwork, overachieve, so that I could look better in front of the board chairman or whatever. How much of it is by a desire that people should think well of you in your ministry versus the glory of God? 6, it's an encouragement. This is an encouragement to you as we talk about this topic, is that it is worth it to work hard and to sacrifice in ministry. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. So thinking about this topic, it is biblically commanded for us to sacrifice ourselves in ministry. It's biblically commanded us to work hard in ministry, to labor for the Lord in ministry. But we should also keep in mind, again, our limitations of what we can do. Because do we want to have effective ministry for the King for a year and leave the ministry entirely? Or do we want to have effective ministry for the King for the rest of our lives? It's a key thing. Gospel ministry is ministry in a messed up world. It shows me afresh my total dependence on the Lord. 7, a delight. Rejoice in grace, not gifts. Rejoice in grace, not gifts. You see here in Luke 10:20, printed in your notes, when the disciples came to the Lord, Jesus said, "Do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Where is he saying to place your joy? And obviously we've heard many testimonies again of God's faithfulness. Are we supposed to place our joy in the thousands of children that we reached this past year? Or the hundreds or the tens of children that we've reached this past year? Are we to rejoice? Yes, obviously we're supposed to praise the Lord for that. But where do we find our identity? Do we find our identity in that? No. Our identity is in Christ, not in the ministry. Your identity is not a CF missionary. Now that may seem crazy, but let me say that again. Your identity is not a CF missionary. Your identity is a child of Jesus Christ. And that is what your identity should be. You happen to be a CF missionary, as ministry to Jesus, but that's not your identity. Your identity is in Jesus Christ. Thinking about all of these things, and we're going to take some time because there's a few different things here in the conclusion part of it, and kind of talking. This is kind of high level, obviously the keys to lifelong ministry, and then we'll talk about some of the practical outworkings of this. But thinking through serving the Lord, one kind of a practical outworking of this is that, again, we don't need to be soft. We need to continue to take risks. Luke 9, 23 to 24 says this. He says, "And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." So obviously, again, and that's another verse. It talks about we're commanded to sacrifice for the Lord. But we also see something else in Mark chapter 6, when he calls out the 12 disciples. If you know, I'm not going to take the time to read the passage, but he sends out the 12 disciples, right? He sends them out. He gives them the tools that they need. He says, take your coat that's on your back and so on and go into these towns. What does he do when the disciples come back? In verse 30, it says, "The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, 'Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. Jesus did not send them out immediately on another trip. Jesus commanded them to rest first before going on and taking further ministry. This is a biblical pattern to take the time necessary to rest, to think about, praise God for what He did, and then take on the new task. Also, not despairing. Oftentimes our situation can bring a lot of despair. Maybe you're in a position that it'd be very, very hard to take off days. Maybe you're in a position where it's very hard to say no to urgent emails or urgent phone calls and things like that. How committed are you to change? To see what can happen? Your situation may be different from someone else's, but you can have the change that's necessary to preserve your ministry for the long term. There's a difference between sacrifice and burnout in the sense of what's self-inflicted and what's situational. So like, for example, when Jesus talks about sacrifice, some of that obviously martyrdom for the faith, different things that have happened to the disciples. You know, yes, that would be situational sacrifice where they were killed for their faith. But they didn't run headlong into it. There's a difference between you doing it to yourself and the situation doing it to you. Does that make sense? Some of you in this room may have impossible situations at home. Maybe you do have, you know, family members have cancer and you've had deaths in the family and all of these things. That would be situations just coming in on you, just bearing down on you and just forcing you in a sense of just having to take a break or whatever else. You're having a situation of high stress. Some of it's self-inflicted because you brought it upon yourself. I'll give you an example of this. Earlier last year, my church, we have a small church where we're from, and the pastor came up to me and asked me if I would prayerfully consider being an elder at the church. And I prayed about it and I thought about it. And with being in full-time ministry, we were about to have a baby. With everything that we've experienced with this whole topic and me knowing my limits, I'm also taking seminary online. And I prayed about it and I was like, I did not have a peace about it, because I know if I commit to being an elder, like I know an elder should be, because it's a weighty responsibility to be an elder in a church. There's going to be meetings, there's going to be problems, there's going to be issues that I'm going to have to do. And I said, I'm sorry, I cannot serve as an elder, because I know if I say yes to this, it's going to be self-inflicted. I do not have the time. And during this season of my life, with having a new baby, taking seminary, all of the, you know, being a full-time CF missionary, I do not have the time that it takes in this season to do it. Maybe later I'd be able to do it. That would be an example of, that would be self-inflicted sacrifice, okay? Where I would, if I had done it, I would be doing it to myself. Does that make sense? A couple months ago, my pastor, probably related topics, my pastor actually is stepping down from the church and is taking a different position in Florida. So that's left our church in a season of needing a new pastor. And so I was asked to be on the pulpit search committee and to be the chairman of the pulpit search committee that I'm currently serving in. And as I prayed about that, I was thinking, okay, this is a temporary 3 to 6 month commitment where I'm going to be the chairman of the pulpit search committee. It's going to be sacrifice. It's going to be a taxing on our time. It's going to be all of these things. But I'm willing to make that sacrifice for a season because I know it's going to end. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we get into things where we commit to all these things. We're, you know, running Awana at the church. We're teaching 3 good news clubs. We're going, you know, we're doing this, we're doing that, we made all these commitments. We're serving on this committee and that committee. And it's exhausting because we've overcommitted what we have our capabilities of doing. And that would be something that's self-inflicted. Sometimes it's important to look at what our capabilities are, because some of you in this room can handle a lot. I'm not one of those people. Some of you can handle doing a lot of stuff, and that's okay, but know your limits. There's quite a bit of resources out there for this thing. I didn't have enough for everyone, but if you go to Google, you can write down Headington Institute, H-E-A-D-I-N-G-T-O-N, Headington Institute. They have two different forms. If you just type in Headington Institute Stress or Headington Institute Burnout, there's two self-evaluation forms. Okay? And this is not a diagnostic tool. This is not a medical tool or anything like this. This is just an evaluation. And so there's some questions that it asks you on this little test you can find on Google there. And it's things like, you know, how stressed are you? And some of the things that it says is, obviously, one, I feel tired. Two, I find it hard to relax. I find it hard to make decisions. I feel overwhelmed. I feel irritable. I find it hard to concentrate. I have trouble feeling hopeful. There's a lot of different things on there, kind of an evaluation of how stressed are you. There's another test there at the Headington Institute you can take. It's just a PDF you can find on Google. Are you showing signs of burnout? I'm going to read some of those to you. I feel detached and like I don't really care about the problems and needs of other people. I find that I'm easily annoyed by other people's demands and stories about their daily activities. I'm absent-minded. I forget appointments. I find myself avoiding people. And I don't really enjoy being around close friends and family members anymore. I have sleeping problems. I have difficulty making decisions. These are all different examples that you can find on these tests. Where it'd be important for you, that I would challenge you to do, is do a self-evaluation. How stressed are you? How close to burnout are you? Because you have to be aware of the issue. You may not even know that you're having problems, but a test like that can show, wait a minute, this is all connected. And sometimes we don't know that we're stressed. Sometimes we don't know that we're a possible burnout. But then when we do something like that and we see, okay, these, like for example, like for me, I'll find myself like twitching because literally the anxiety is so much and your body starts to, because you're running on adrenaline is what's happening. Your body starts to basically shut down because it's running out of adrenaline. Your body literally cannot sustain that amount of stress any longer. Your body begins to shut down as you burn out. Also, making a resolution. This is printed in your notes. Under number four, it says, if I never preach another sermon, never lead another church meeting, never give another talk, never have another one-on-one spiritual conversation with anyone, never use my gifts ever again in ministry, never teach another Good News Club, never have another CEF meeting, never hire another staff person, obviously adding a few different CEF things to that, my name is still written in heaven, and in that I will rejoice. Again, where do you find your joy? Do you find your joy in the fruit of the ministry? Do you find your joy in the ministry? Or do you find your joy in Jesus Christ? Because it's a big, big difference. Yes, praise the Lord for what He's doing in the ministry, but that's not where your joy should come from. Your joy should come from being saved by Jesus Christ and finding your identity in Him. Also, fifth, watching out for warning signs. You'll see here, and if obviously we just had the Olympics last year, you have Olympic athletes that train. You have football players and different things, you know, and sometimes the mental stress, they can mentally check out because they've kind of psyched themselves out, if you've ever heard an announcer say that, and they kind of, because they were under so much pressure that they could not use their athletic abilities on the court, on the field, in their meet, because of the stress that they were under, because of the pressure they were under. And you see here kind of a curve there. This would be your performance. This would be pressure. So, and again, if you have low pressure in your job within CEF, you're low stress, it's real easy, what does that do? It leads to boredom and things like that. And so you're really not performing very well, because it's not very stressful. There's really no urgency. On the other side, you have a high pressure, and it leads to lower performance as well, because you're under so much stress for so long, there's anxiety, there's unhappiness, There's unmanaged high stress that leads to burnout, that leads to depression, and obviously there's low performance in ministry as well. But you see right here where we want to stay in ministry is right here, where there's an optimum amount of stress, therefore leading to an optimal amount of performance in ministry. Performance meaning the ability to do your job and to do your job well. Now, something crystal clear is that this looks different for every single person in this room. There are people in this room that can handle unbelievable amounts of stress and they are still at the top of their game. There's CF leadership that would fit that profile of being able to handle an unbelievable amount of stress and being able to go 100 miles an hour and still being able to make correct decisions. But then there's also those of us who can't handle that level of high octane 90 miles an hour. And so that's going to look different for us. No matter who you are, no matter your level of tolerance for stress, we want to stay in this section right here. Because some of you who can handle a lot, you know, you're over here. You're not actually operating the way God wired you to operate. And some of you who may not be able to handle as much are operating over here, and you're not operating the way God wants you to either. And ultimately, it's going to lead to stress and burnout and fatigue and everything else. Your body is able to work hard. God designed us for work. Inside the garden, we were created to cultivate. Work is not a byproduct of sin. Work was a part of Genesis, was a part of the garden. They were designed to cultivate the garden. However, what was the result of sin? Work became a lot harder. But we were still designed to be able to do that and to work hard. But how does your body design? You're given kind of a fight or flight reflex when stress comes in, right? You find yourself maybe, obviously in a combat situation, that adrenaline serves to help you to escape faster, you know, fight the person better, stuff like that. In a ministry situation, we actually run on adrenaline as well, right? You know, sometimes in a season of high stress, God gives us the grace to be able, you know, obviously we draw upon that adrenaline to make it through. And what ends up happening is that our bodies literally become addicted to adrenaline. Our bodies were never designed to run on adrenaline. Adrenaline was always supposed to be something that helps get us through temporary seasons. So literally your body can become addicted to adrenaline, and when things stop, when you take a break. How many of you have ever taken a break and you just crash? That's because literally your body has been running on adrenaline, and when you take a vacation, your body literally collapses because it's been running on adrenaline for so long and it's taken so much of a toll on you. And when you crash like that after a vacation, that's another thing. And maybe you should have taken, you know, some off days beforehand, because that led to that. So, I did want to end earlier, because I wanted to have a little bit of time where we could talk about this kind of in a Q&A style and kind of talk about some of the practical outworkings of this. Before I do that, I do want to say, like, just some general things, just some small things that I did to change when we hit the wall of burnout. One was, I realized that we did not take good vacations as a family. And I did not take good vacations. So something that I did was, every single year, we take a 2-week vacation, and I do not check my phone whatsoever. The only people that have a phone number, I give my regional director and someone at headquarters Mandy's cell phone number. And if it is life and death, they can reach me there. But other than that, my phone goes away, and I do not check my email. I do not answer my phone for the entire 2 weeks of that vacation. Also, I turned off all of the alerts on my phone. So, because before I would get text messages and email alerts and everything else, I check my email when I choose to check my email. I don't get an alert about it. I even turned off the little thing down at the bottom that says how many emails I have. so that I'm not keeping track of how much it changes. And you can do that in your settings, and that's what I did, because I did not want to be tied any longer to that ding on the phone. Also, we created rules at our house. For example, unless it's my regional director or someone like that, I'm not answering the phone after hours, period. Unless it's literally life and death and I know about it ahead of time, I'm not answering my phone for CF Matters. I'm just not, because it can wait until the morning. It's not absolutely necessary that I rob my family of time, my time with my daughters, for ministry. Because I'm going to guard that time with family so that on the days that I am serving, I'm serving with all of my gusto at work, and when I come home, I'm spending all of my time with my family. So that you're spending all of your energy and it's not being split 15 million different ways. You're focusing in and you're having those boundaries in your life. That's just a couple of examples of what we do, and it's been a major changes for us that we've done, more than that. And also thinking through, before I open up the floor, also thinking through the season of life that you're in. Like, for example, my wife and I's abilities in ministry are limited because we have three young children. We cannot go all around, for example, we could obviously travel a lot more with what we do as missionaries if we wanted to. But because we have young children, we can't. Because what I would be doing is I would, as my girls are growing up, they would never know their father, because I would be gone all the time. So we chose for this season of life to only travel a limited amount of time. Now when the girls grows older, we'll travel all the time, you know, for ministry. But for the season of life with young kids, we're going to make limitations on that. So you have to think through that. Sometimes you may have aging parents, and you are limited with what you can do in ministry because you're taking care of your, you know, maybe aging parents or something like that. You may yourself have health issues that limit ministry. And so you have to think through, what are the things that I need to do to guard the time so that I can be effective in ministry? It's kind of a fire hose of information, but I did want to kind of stop before we close out our time and have a time of discussion.